Message close to prepared, and then this morning as I was working through it, you know, adding the finishing touches, like God sometimes does, he said, nope, this isn't what I want you to pray. So it says something new that I believe is fully from God and something that really God has for you guys, and God was leading me through and really working in my heart through. So let's begin reading in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. And the Bible says in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want you guys to understand that God calls us to give our burdens to him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity that it is to present your word, Lord. I just do thank you for what a blessing this is and just what an opportunity this is, Lord. I pray that you would just help me just to say what you would have me to say and help me just to be empty of myself and full of your spirit, Lord. And I pray that you would just guide me as I present this message, Lord. And I pray that you would just help me throughout this message, Lord, and just to say what you would have me to say, nothing more, nothing less. Lord, I pray this all in your precious name. Amen. So I want to start off by telling you guys a story. So my dad ended up buying this new, kind of like a U-Haul type truck. And so the entire bed was empty. There was nothing in the back. It was just the truck. And he wanted to build something for it. And because he was like, if he liked the wooden look more. So he wanted to build something. And he wasn't happy with just buying something. So he said, Martin, you want to do power tools? You want to learn how to work with wood and everything? You do it. And he threw it at me. He told me what he wanted, and he said, you do it. And so later on that day, I'm out there, and I was working, and I remember I had one piece of wood right here, and I'm holding it with this hand. I have another one over here, and it's, like, coming down, and I'm holding it with this hand. And then I had another one over here holding it with my foot. And then out of nowhere, as soon as I tried to reach for a bolt, everything came crumbling down. And my dad just hears the wood just fall everywhere. And my dad comes out, and he's like, what are you doing? He's like, all you have to do is just put bolts in the wood. All you have to do is just screw the wood together. It'll do the rest of the work for you. And I looked at him and I was like, I don't know how to do this. And he just laughed at me and he's like, all right, come on, let's do this together. And he helped me. He walked me through the process. And he really did the majority of the job on his own. He ended up putting everything. He ended up cutting everything the way it needed to be. He ended up driving most of the screws. All I did that was all me was paint it. That's my pride. That's my pride in the project. I painted every piece of wood on there. He may have had some complaints about the paint, but I did it. I got it done at least. And I want to ask you guys, are you carrying the weight of your burdens? Are you carrying the weight of your sin like I was trying to do that project on my own? Are you doing that all on your own? Are you trying to carry everything by yourself? The weight of your sin, the weight of your troubles, the weight of everything. Are you trying to carry that on your own? Tonight, I want to look at three different aspects found in this passage of Matthew 28 through 30. And the first aspect I want to look at is our stress. The Bible is saying in this passage, to come to me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden. And in this, he's saying, if you have stresses, if you have worries, if you have struggles, come to me. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to help you. I'm here to lighten that load for you. And I was looking at some studies, and studies shows that this year alone, 61% of adults were feeling anxious. Of those, 56 had stress about their jobs, whether they were going to be able to go to work tomorrow, have money to put food on the table for all of you little kids, to have money for the clothes that they were going to have to give you guys, to send you guys to school for gas. Those were their worries. 75% said that they were worried about the violence of the world, all the crimes happening outside. 44% felt stressed because they felt like no one understood them. They felt like no one really knew what they were going through. And 28% were stressed about the future. And overall, 37% of all Americans said that they felt so stressed that they were unable to live life regularly. And that reminded me of a story when I was a little kid. And I remember we used to always go to the mall when I was younger. And my mom's favorite store was always JCPenney. So we were going through JCPenney. My mom was looking at all the clothes. And oddly enough, they ended up putting the toys right next to the clothes. So I was sitting there. I was amused. I was looking at all the toys. I was all excited. They had all my favorite Hot Wheels. They had all my favorite Legos. And I'm sitting there. I'm trying to pick which one I'm going to try to beg my parents for, which one I'm going to throw a fit about because they won't buy me so I can get it later. And I'm sitting here. I'm trying to think about all that. And then I turned around, and my mom wasn't there. And I couldn't hear her voice. And it sank in. And my head started racing. I was like, did my parents leave me? Did they forget about me? What's going on? Where do they go? Like, how am I going to get home? It's a 30-minute drive, and I can't walk that. That's crazy. So how am I going to get home? What am I going to do? What in the world is going to happen? And so I started crying. I started bawling my eyes out. I'm like, Mom! Mom! And she poked her head around the corner. I was like, what's wrong? I'm right here. To me, what felt like the world was falling apart was my mom just around the corner. And I want to ask you guys and remind you guys that that's so often how we are. That's so often the way that we view God is we have the stress of maybe your finals are coming up. You have tests coming up. You know, maybe you have a deadline for a job or a project that's coming up. Maybe you have, you know, a big trip that's coming up that you've pushed off packing to, because I know I do that every time. I pack the day before and you don't know what you're going to do and you're stressed out and you're worried and you don't know what's going to happen. But you forget to call on God. He's right around the corner. He's waiting for you to call his name. But it seems like so often we forget to. And I want to challenge you guys to go out of your way to find God through those moments, to seek his comfort, to seek his guidance, because it's only him that can guide you through it. It's only him. He is the great comforter. And the second aspect I want to look at is our Savior. Because we cannot find that comfort if we do not know him as our personal Savior. And so I want to ask you guys, because Jesus was saying, look, you cannot carry the weight of your troubles, let alone the weight of your sin, so give it to me. He's saying, you can't handle this. It's too heavy for you. It's too much for you. Give it to me. Psalm 38:4 says, for mine iniquities are gone over my head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. The psalmist was saying, I can't handle all of the bad stuff that's going on in my life. I can't do all of that. I can't handle all the lies and all the disobedience to my parents. I can't handle all the times that I cheated on a test. I can't handle all of those things. It's too much for me to bear. It's too much for me to handle. Please, can someone help me? If you're carrying the weight of your sin, then today is the day to get that taken care of. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all in that. We all fall under that umbrella of having done something wrong that we cannot make right. I remember there was this one time in elementary school that this one girl had the entire school year made me mad. I didn't like this girl. She frustrated me beyond my limits, and I never wanted to spend time with her. Anytime she was friends with one of my friends, but anytime she was around, I backed away. I wanted nothing to do with her. And later on that day, she sent me a message on Snapchat. And she said, why don't you like me? Why do you always avoid me? And what I said to her, I'm embarrassed of to this day. I'm ashamed of. And there's nothing I will ever do to take those words back, because those hurt her. Those hurt her so much that her older sister was telling me how much those hurt her. And that's something I will never take back. Guys, your words, they matter. And they make a difference. And just like I can't take that back and I can never make that right again, all of the sin that we have done has put us on a blacklist with God. That means that God cannot accept us willingly into his home, because we have that filth still with us. We still have that guilt, that shame. And Romans 6:23 is our only hope. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God said, you know what? You may have done all of this. You may have sinned. You may have done all of this wrong. You may have done all of this evil thing, all evil stuff. But that's why I made an answer for you. I sent my son to die for you. And all you have to do is accept him. And I want to remind you guys, as 2 Corinthians 6:1 in the latter half says, now is the day of salvation. Psalm 95:7-8 says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. today, if you will hear his voice and harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. What he's saying is, soften your heart. Listen to my words. It's not worth all the fighting. It's not worth all the back and forth. Just listen. Hear what I have to say and take it in. And if you will just do that, then I have the answer for you, and that's Jesus. But if you have already made that decision, then we do have hope. And our hope is the third aspect, and that's our strength. Matthew 6, if you'll please turn there to Matthew 6, just a couple pages back, and we'll be looking at verse 25. The Bible says in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat? Is not the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall ye be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What Jesus is saying in this passage is, if I take care of the sheep, if I take care of the flowers, if I take care of all the birds, if I give them and they all have enough to eat, what are you so worried about? You're my child. I've nurtured you. I raised you up. I created you. I formed you. What, do you think I don't care about you enough? He's saying, I will have everything you need. Just focus on the things of the future. Focus on heaven. Focus on planting the seeds for heaven. For the younger ones and for the older ones, it's the same thing. It's how do you focus on that? You point others to Jesus. That's the only thing that will last in heaven, is pointing others to Jesus. The impact that you make now for Jesus is the only thing that will remain in heaven. And I want to ask you guys, what impact are you making? Are you making the impact for Jesus? And with that, and 1 Peter 5, 7 goes along with it, casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. What Peter's saying in this passage is the same thing. He cares about you. It doesn't matter if your needs are material. It doesn't matter if your needs are emotional. He's there for you. Just lean on him. And with that, I want to go back to our main passage in Matthew 11. Where it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. With that, I want to show you guys a quick illustration. So, Matthew, would you be willing to help me really quick? Don't worry, you won't have to do anything uncomfortable. All I need you to do is put this backpack on. Okay. All right, Matthew. We're going to get personal right now. Is that okay? Have you ever told a lie? Yes. Okay, so we're going to add a book for that, okay?
No, right. The biggest book,
yeah. Yeah, the biggest one. We got to get rid of it. Have you ever disobeyed your parents?
Yes.
Okay. What else have you done?
I'm not going to tell you that.
Okay, have you ever disobeyed your teacher at school?
I don't go to a school.
Your mother.
Have you disobeyed your mother? Yeah. Have you ever disobeyed pastor?
No.
No? What about Mrs. Mix?
No.
What about your Sunday school teachers?
Yes.
Okay, we got a couple more. You got to help me out here. What's something else? Okay. Okay, it's getting full. I need to close this a little bit. You still feel good?
Yeah.
Can you carry this for the rest of the day?
Yeah,
you could try. Okay. Now let's get personal. Have you ever seen someone who needed Jesus and not told them about it? Yeah. It's okay. We all have. Okay, how's that feel?
It feels fine.
You think you got room for three more?
Yeah.
Okay. Should we just put them on and assume you've done three more bad things? How does that feel? You think you can carry that for the rest of the day?
Yeah, probably,
yeah. Yeah? Should we go find more hymnals?
Sure.
How many more do you want? I can't even close it anymore. 100 more?
Yeah.
I don't even think I can stack those. How about for the rest of your life? You think you can carry this? Never go to sleep with it? Shower with it? Play sports with it? You think you could play football with that?
Oh, definitely not.
So what are you going to do about it?
Give it to you. Here you go.
So how about I trade you backpacks? How about you put on that black one, and or that blue one, and I'll put this one on?
Thank you.
Bye. Does that one feel better?
Yeah, it feels a little better.
This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, give me all your heartache. Give me your worry. Give me all your sin, and I'll carry that on my back. All you have is an empty backpack. I'll carry everything. I'll do everything on my shoulders, on my back. All you have to do is give it to me. Just trust in me. If he never gave me that backpack, what would he have to do? For the rest of his life, he'd be holding on to it. He'd be holding on to that angst, that anxiety, that worry, that concern, be holding on to all that sin, all of that hurt that he has caused. Because I know that his mom doesn't feel happy when he lies to her. I know that that doesn't happen. I know that I don't feel good when I do the things that I do. That affects me just as much as it affects the others. And that doesn't make me feel good. But Jesus is saying, give it to me, and I'll take care of it. I'll take it off your shoulders. I bet your shoulders feel a lot better now. Yeah. And that's what God's saying. He's saying, just give it to me. It's as simple as that. Just give it to me. Thank you, Matthew. And And for those of you who don't know, what Jesus is saying right here is the same thing. He's saying, take my yoke upon you. And a yoke, for those of you who don't know, is just like it was in the older times, the way that they would do farm work. What they would do is they would take a massive piece of wood and throw it on top of two different oxen, or sometimes it was cows. It was different things that they would use some of the times. But they would chain them together and chain them there. And they would have to pull. And the idea was that they would both pull. But if one of them started lacking, if one of them started slowing down, then the other one now had to pull the other one just on top of the work and all the farm equipment. And that's the idea that most people give, is that we're just tied in there with Jesus now. And that's what Jesus is saying. That's what most people think, is that we're tied with Jesus. But that's not the case. This is the case. Jesus is taking the entire weight on himself, if you'll just hold him. That's what he's saying. Just hold on to me. I'll carry everything. I'll take everything, if you'll just hold me. And that's all we have to do, is just rely on him, just trust in him, just wrap our arms around him, and just hold on to him. And he'll carry the weight of all of our sin. He'll carry the weight of all of our hurt, all of our heartache. I know for me, college was one of the hardest times of my life. It was the first time that I was fully now dependent on God. I can't rely on my pastor anymore. I can't rely on anyone else for their spirituality, for their prayers, for their Bibles, for them to teach me, for them to tell me. It was all on me. And going into college, I did not read my Bible daily. I didn't pray daily. I didn't do any of that. I was a new Christian. I didn't even know we were supposed to until we showed up on day one. And they started asking, how's your daily devotions? And I was like, daily wool one now? But then that was something that even one of the professors started to help me with. He started to give me things to help me along the way. And it was so hard before then. It was so hard even after then when I would forget to. When I would forget to read my Bible, it felt like, again, I was all on my own. But it was crazy how the moment that I opened that Bible and read what God had for me and started to pray, all of my worries just dropped. It was like that backpack was just being thrown off of me. It was like he was just picking up that yoke off my shoulders, taking it off of me, and saying, don't worry anymore. I'm right here. I've got it now. You don't have to do this on your own. You've got me. God wants us to give all of our troubles and all of our worries and all of our stresses over to him. But to feel this relief, you need to go to him. That was one of the things that I didn't understand when I did my first VBS. So I did VBS back when I was in my senior year, towards the end of my senior year. I was working at a daycare, and they were having a VBS at that daycare. It was a Calvary Chapel, and they were having a VBS. And there, it was very last minute, 2 weeks before VBS, they threw the skits at me, and they threw the games at me, and they said, figure it out. And of course, lo and behold, I got sick for the next week and a half, so I didn't work on any of it. And then the day before, I ended up looking over the skits for the first time and realizing, this isn't going to work. This isn't what we want. This isn't what we're trying to do. This isn't going to work. And so I go up to them and I'm like, so did you read these? Like, these aren't working for what we're trying to do. And it's the day before. Like, what are we supposed to do? And they just looked at me and they said, well, I guess we'll figure it out. And I looked at them and I said, so are we just going to run with it and see what happens? And they looked at me and they said, how about you figure it out? So that day I looked and I was like, well, what if we change it and we make it a campfire scene? And what we could do is we can have the stories being told, being played out. And those are the plays that we have. And then me and someone else can just sit at the front and we can be telling the story. And so we can guide it wherever we want, wherever we need. And it was a great idea. They loved it. And then I realized that now I have to write a bunch of skits. So I went into work at 6 in the morning, worked with kids until 6 p.m., and then I stayed for another 3 hours writing skits. And talk about heavy laden. I was dead. I went across the street, got tacos, came back, and kept working. And then I was sitting there, and I'm falling asleep in this office chair, just typing away, trying to get everything done, and it wasn't working out. And I remember I went to the lobby to go get some water. And in the lobby, they have sitting right there, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28, written on the wall. And I looked at that and I was like, that's powerful. Thank you, God. I'm so glad you're here. Anyways, I got to get back to work. So I went back and kept typing, and I was dead again. So I went back, got some more water. I looked at it. I was like, wow, that's such a good verse. Okay, anyways, sat back down and kept typing. And it wasn't until I went back there and literally sat down and knelt on that couch and then sat back down just thinking and meditating on that verse and then finally knelt down and prayed and said, God, I can't do this. God, if you want kids to get saved at this VBS, then you need to do something. This is on you. Because I can't do this. I'm tired of trying to carry this weight on my shoulders. I'm tired of trying to get games. I'm tired of trying to do all this. And that was not the right attitude to have at all. But I was saying, God, it's yours. I'm done. It was crazy how after that, everything flowed together. Every single line that I needed was right there. Every single skit that I needed was right there. Everything that I needed suddenly started to flow. And so I sat there and I was like, huh. So that was all you wanted, right? You just wanted me to give it to you. And so I was like kind of happy after that. You know, I was like, I'm getting work done. I got the first two done. Now I only need three more. Went back home, got the best sleep of my life, and then came back the next day at 6 in the morning, ready to work again. And it was the same thing all over again. I was doing it on my own. I was typing away. I was doing everything. But I never took a moment to stop and pray. And so often, and one of my favorite lines of any song is from For King and Country, and Oh God, Forgive Us. And he says, we're so busy doing your work that we forgot that this was for you. Every time I hear that, it touches my heart. Because so often I find myself going to church, going to Sunday school, going to wherever it is that I'm going to. At college, it was going to classes, then going to chapel, then going to more classes, then going to church, then going to serve, then going to do all of these different things, but never taking a moment to stop and pray and say, God, this is for you. This is for your glory. This is for your honor. And so often, we get caught in the same rut of being back to back, doing the things that God wants us to do, maybe you're even reading your Bible, but not getting anything out of it, because it seems more like a chore than it does a pleasure. And Psalm 34 helped me reinforce this when it says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. But it didn't just happen. I sought him, and then he delivered me. And I want to remind you guys, if you guys aren't seeking the Lord, he's not going to be able to take away your cares. Because sure, you might be saying, hey God, how are you doing? But I'm still holding on to my backpack. But the moment that you finally say, Lord, I need your help, then you finally wrap your arms around him and he takes it from you. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. As Mrs. Mix begins to play, I want to remind you guys of the second aspect we saw, our Savior. If you have never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, today is the day to get that taken care of. You can't have any of the rest or any of the comfort that God promises until you're one of his children, because you're still depending on yourself. So I want to ask you guys, if you haven't done it, please come to the front. Talk to pastor, talk to any of the workers around here. We'd love to share with you how you can know 100% you're on your way to heaven. And secondly, if you are saved, if you have made that profession of faith, if you have accepted Jesus, then I want to ask you, what are you trusting in? Are you trusting in God? Or are you trusting in yourself? Are you doing God's work for your benefit or for his? What are you relying on today? Pastor.
Find my rest, and without you I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart, Lord. I need you, oh, I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holy.
Father, thank you. Thank you that you've sent your Son for us. Thank you, God, that we can cast our care upon you because you care for us. And Father, today as we continue to cling to you, we know, Father, that a home awaits us in heaven because you're the one who carried our sin to the cross and carry our burdens today. We have hope now and for the future. Bless us now as we go and we fellowship tonight. And we thank you, God, for all the preparation that's been made at Vacation Bible School. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.